العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. I ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us the sincerity. Inshallah, we will continue explaining the terms of the book that's called The Creed of Muslims, which is a book that has been accredited and stamped with the seal of approval by the Fundamentals of the Religion Academy of Al-Azhar Al-Sharif, as being in accordance with the belief and the correct creed of the Muslims. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will talk about an important concept. It is actually explaining the meaning of a hadith called the Hadith of the Slave Woman, or the Hadithul Jariya. First of all, this hadith is classified by the scholars of hadith as inconsistent or muttarib. Muttarib means it has different narrations. It was reported in a number of ways with variations in the text. The scholars of hadith judge the hadith whose narrations and their apparent meaning cannot be reconciled as a weak hadith. Nevertheless, even the scholars who deemed it acceptable did not take it to mean that Allah occupies the sky. This hadith of the slave woman is a hadith that talks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He asked a slave woman a question in Arabic. It says, "Ayn Allah." The scholars of hadith said it means, "What is your belief in Allah?" Rather, what some misinterpret this hadith by claiming that the Prophet is asking for a place to Allah, wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. Let me quote the saying of Imam An-Nawawi in explaining this hadith, who said, "The question, Ayn Allah, is a question about the rank of Allah, not the location. Allah is not bound by locations, because He is the one who created the locations." Note that the word Ayna, in its literal meaning, is a query about location. Also, according to the Arabic language, it can mean a query about the status. You say, "Ayna thara min al-thuraya," for example. So it's used in Arabic, "Where is this from that?" It means in rank. The question means, "How much do you glorify Allah?" This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intended. This is considering or assuming that the hadith would be deemed acceptable, not inconsistent. So those who deemed the hadith acceptable, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking this slave's woman, "How much do you glorify Allah?" The slave's woman's response was, "Fi sama." In Arabic, it means she's affirming her belief in Allah having a high status. It does not mean that Allah Ta'ala is restricted in a place or occupies the heaven. It does not imply restricting Allah to that location. It is not permissible to the person to believe or to claim that the Prophet asked her about the location. Nor it is permissible to believe that she meant Allah occupies the sky. Because Allah is the one who created the sky. Allah existed eternally without a beginning, and He exists without a place. He created the heavens and the earths, and He did not change, and He did not occupy the place. In the book الرسالة القشيرية by Abu al-Qasim al-Qushayri, Imam Ali said, رضي الله عنه, "The question of where, that is location, does not apply to the one who created the whereabouts." That means the question where does not apply on Allah, because He is the one who created the whereabouts, the locations, the places, the heavens and the earths, the directions. All were created by Allah. Also, Imam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu, one of the great heads of the Salaf, one of the great leaders in the fundamentals of the beliefs of the religion, he stated in his book that was specifically devoted for the concepts of aqidah or beliefs, which was called the Al-Fiqh Al-Absat. He said, Allah existed eternally before creating the places. He existed and no place or creation existed. He is the creator of all things. Moreover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 11 means, absolutely nothing is like Allah in any way. A hadith related by Al-Bukhari and others also means, Allah existed eternally and eternally nothing else existed. That is, Allah exists without a place. Unlike what the Christians and the Jews claim or believe, they claim that Allah created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day He sat on His behind, they say literally, and they say He sat on the throne to rest. This is explicit blasphemy in Islam, and the Muslims oppose that belief, and they believe that Allah is not in need of any of His creations, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of the creations, and He existed before the creations without being occupied in a place or in directions. Let it be known that in Islam, there is a must on the Muslim to consider the one who curses Allah a blasphemer. The one who curses Allah or the prophets, even if he was a Muslim, after cursing Allah or the prophet, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, we seek refuge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. The person who commits that is considered as a non-Muslim by consensus. Rather, Al-Qadi Iyad, he relayed the scholarly consensus, ijma', that the one who curses Allah apostatizes. He commits riddah. Even if one was angry, even if he was joking, or even if he did not enjoy the utterance of that kufr. So, even if he did not enjoy that blasphemy while he said it, for example, he was angry or the like, he is still considered as a blasphemer for cursing Allah, wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. What is the proof? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Quran al-Kareem, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 65 and 66 means, if you question those who have blasphemed, they will say, we were only babbling and kidding. Say to them, do you make mockery of Allah, His verses, and His messenger? Make no excuses, for you have blasphemed after having displayed being Muslim. So this ayah is indicating that they claimed they were Muslim, or they were Muslims, and because of their kufr, they are considered blasphemers. Allah Ta'ala considered them blasphemers after they uttered, after they made mockery of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the verses of Al-Quran. لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Make no excuses, for you have blasphemed after having displayed being Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, a slave may utter a word which he thinks harmless that results in the falling the depth of 70 years into hellfire. This hadith also is explaining that a person might say a word that he thinks it's harmless, yet this word was the reason for him to fall into hellfire the depth of 70 years. Related by At-Tirmidhi, this hadith, this depth in the bottom of hellfire is a place only for the blasphemers. So this hadith that was related by At-Tirmidhi and classified as Sahih is indicating that this person who said this word, who thought was harmless, will go into hellfire the depth of 70 years, which means he will die as a non-Muslim, as a kafir. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Now, if a person committed kufr, he must return to Islam by saying the shahadatayn, by returning to Islam, by leaving the kufr and regretting saying that kufr and immediately uttering the testification of faith, which are the shahadatayn, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. How does one enter into Islam if he was a non-Muslim? One enters Islam by uttering the two testifications of faith with the intention to enter into Islam. And the testifications of faith are in English: I testify that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Now, if a person could not say the name Muhammad, pronounce the H properly, then he may say, I testify that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad Abu al-Qasim, which is another name for the Prophet, is the messenger of Allah. Saying this with the intention to enter into Islam, that person would be admitted, would be considered as a Muslim. One does not enter into Islam by just asking Allah for forgiveness, by just saying, I ask Allah to forgive me. He does not return to Islam. The pure kafir, nor the apostate, the one who committed ridda, or the one who committed kufr, he must say the shahadatayn to return to Islam. And the original kafir, original non-Muslim, a Christian or Jew or Sikh or Hindu or the Buddhists or atheists, in order for them to embrace Islam, they must say with the intention to embrace the religion of Islam, that I testify that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And this testification includes the belief in the oneness of Allah, and that Allah is the most powerful, He is clear of all imperfection and attributed with perfection, and that Allah Ta'ala sent prophets, beginning with Prophet Adam and ending with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them. So one cannot just say Astaghfirullah to return to Islam. Allah Ta'ala said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Surah Nuh, Ayah 10 means, I, Nuh, ordered you to seek a valid forgiveness from your Lord. This ayah means that Prophet Nuh ordered his people to seek forgiveness by embracing Islam, not by just saying, Ya Allah, forgive us, or Allah, forgive us. Rather, forgive us by embracing Islam. They would be forgiven. Everyone is forgiven. Every non-Muslim is forgiven by Islam, because Islam waives the bad doings and the sins of that person. So by embracing Islam, Allah will forgive them. This is the meaning of the ayah. By believing in Allah as their God and in Nuh as his prophet would make these people as Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from misguidance. We ask Allah to keep us steadfast on Islam. We ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us firm to the belief that Allah exists without a beginning, without a place. He does not need any of His creations. And we ask Allah to let us die as Muslims, and Allah Subhanahu knows best.